Now I want tonight to turn to probably one of the chapters in the Bible, the 23rd Psalm. I dare say we all know the 23rd Psalm. We had a good friend years ago, whom we had known for some years, and whom I imagined all the time was a Christian. She used to have happy fellowship with us, but she wasn't. I didn't know that. And she came to this country from Great Britain, and was up in New York, Long Island somewhere, and she fell sick. And we wrote to one of our friends, the late brother Horace Klenk. A lot of you knew Horace Klenk. And we wrote to him and said, please go to the hospital and see this English lady. And later on she told me that when he came, he said, I see you've got a Bible by the bed. Do you read that book? She said, yes, I read it every day. He said, do you understand it? She said, no, I don't. But I read it every day. He said, well, let's find something that is very easy. And he opened to the 23rd Psalm. He said, do you know that? She said, oh yeah, I know it off by heart, 23rd Psalm. He said, I'll tell you what to do. Take your finger and put your finger on the fourth word and say, the Lord is my shepherd. Put your finger on that word, my shepherd. Some weeks later, she was sitting at dinner with me Sunday and she said, Bob, I've got good news for you. I'm saved. I said, well, I thought you'd been saved a long time. She said, no, I was saved this morning. As you were speaking, I was saved this morning. Well, I said, tell me, when I asked you if you were a believer, she said, yes, I've always been a believer, but I didn't know that's where you get saved. And she said, I found it out this morning. And she said, I have searched the Bible. But she said, the first light that ever dawned on me was when your friend Horace Klenk said, put your finger on mine. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. And this is what we want to talk about tonight. The Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 23. And I want to talk about this tonight in the language of a sheep. Can you understand sheep language? They bleat and baa and make a lot of noise. But we're going to listen to a sheep talking. A sheep talking. Listen to him. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Shall we pray? Blessed God our Father, we thank thee for these six verses, wonderful words which we have known from childhood. And yet, Lord, it's hard to talk about them. They're so pregnant, so full of wonderful truths, and so much about thyself, that we have no words to adequately talk about a psalm like this. But we pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit tonight may take these words and apply them to our hearts. And may we tonight realize what the Lord Jesus said when he said, I am the Good Shepherd. Give us some new glimpses of thyself tonight, Lord, we pray thee, as we open this book and think about this psalm. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Now, we have been speaking evenings here on what theologians call the Messianic Psalms. There are a number of psalms in the book of Psalms, a number of them that are known as Messianic Psalms. That's to say, they prophesy, they speak and prophesy 1,000 years before, they speak about the Messiah and how the Messiah would come. Last time we were talking, you remember, we were talking about Psalm 22. And several people told me that the Lord spoke to their hearts, and I must say he spoke to my heart that night, perhaps as he hadn't for a long, long time, as we considered Psalm 22, the suffering Savior. Tonight, we're thinking of the Lord as the shepherd. And as I said, we're going to talk a sheep language. You see, David writes it, but David wasn't a sheep. He was writing about sheep. David was a shepherd. And there's something very wonderful about David, I think, as a shepherd. One little word, if I can find it, I think I can, because I'm sure I've got it marked. When David appeared before Saul, and Goliath of Gath was out there defying the armies of Israel, and Goliath, and Saul, King Saul, it says of him that he was head and shoulders above all the other people. Great big strong man of war, but he was afraid of Goliath of Gath. He couldn't go out to fight him. And all the armies of Israel were afraid of this giant. And up comes little David. He came from the sheepfold. His father said, go and visit your brethren. And he came up and he heard them saying about this giant. David left his sheep with the sheepkeeper and took and went as Jesse commanded and went to the army. And his brethren, when they saw him, they said, sir, what are you doing here? Why don't you get back with the sheep? What do you want in the battle? And he said, what's going on? What? And he told him about this Goliath. And he said, is he going to defy God like this? He said, I'll go and fight him. So they brought him to Saul. And Saul said, now what are your qualifications, young man? And this is what he said. Saul said to David, thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep. You know, I got a frame around the word kept. I've had it there for years. Every new Bible I get, I put kept in a frame. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock, and I went out after him. And I smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. Thy servant kept his father's sheep. I like that word, kept. David was a good shepherd. He was a good shepherd. And he lived years with his sheep. A shepherd had to live with his sheep. He had to be out there with them. There's a book. I got it. There's a book we've been selling recently in the bookstore called A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23 by Philip Keller. Now, we haven't got one left in the bookstore. They're all gone, but I've got 50 on order, 25 hardbacks and 25 paperbacks, and they'll be in a day or two. I want you to get hold of this. This is the most wonderful thing I've ever read on Psalm 23. I've recently read it, and I learned more about sheep than I ever knew in all my life by reading this book. This man was a shepherd, spent years with the sheep, and he tells us all about the sheep, their ways, their habits, and their needs. And then he writes, A Shepherd Looks at Psalm 23. When it comes in, you must get that book, all of you. It's really a wonderful book. It's going to make a wonderful Christmas present. I don't think 50 is going to be enough for our bookstore. I'll have to get some more, I think, because it's a wonderful book. And it's giving me new ideas, new thoughts, as I've read that, about Psalm 23. You see, David wrote Psalm 23. But the person speaking here is a sheep. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. It's the sheep that's talking about the shepherd. The sheep is talking. So we're going to talk sheep language tonight as we try and read and talk a little bit about this wonderful psalm. I wish I could say more. I wish I could find words to describe the wonder of this beautiful psalm we've known from our childhood. The sheep is talking about his shepherd, about his father. Now, truly, this is a messianic psalm. Three times in the New Testament, I think I've said before that as far as I understand, a messianic psalm is a psalm that is quoted in the New Testament as referring to the Lord Jesus Christ. Peter did that on the day of Pentecost, and the other disciples, the other apostles did it. They quoted the Psalms and applied them to the Lord. That's the messianic psalm. Now, surely this is, because three times in the New Testament the Lord is called shepherd. In John 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And in the Hebrews 13, he's called the great shepherd. And in 1 Peter 5, he's called the chief shepherd. The chief shepherd. Now in Psalm 23, he's the good shepherd that giveth his life. In Psalm 22, he's the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. In Psalm 23, he is the great shepherd of the sheep. Hebrews 13. And in Psalm 24, which is the next messianic psalm, he's the chief shepherd when the chief shepherd shall appear. That's when the rewards will be given. Psalm 24. And so, then this psalm is written about the Messiah. It's written about the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. Now let's stop and think about it a minute. The Lord is my shepherd. How do I become a sheep? So that I can look up and say, the Lord is my shepherd. And this man tells us how when he started sheep farming, how he had to go and buy his sheep. And he had to go and choose his sheep. That's just what the Lord did with us, you know. He chose us. And when the shepherd goes to the market, he's going to start sheep farming, or every year when he wants to replenish his flock, he goes to the market and he buys, he chooses out this one and that one. And surely the Bible says we were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. He's chosen. He didn't choose him. He chose us. There came a time, yes, when we accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior. And he's our shepherd. But then, he chooses the sheep. But they're not his yet. He's got to buy the sheep. So he chose me, and he bought me. And Psalm 22 tells us the tremendous price he paid to buy the sheep. All the agony of Psalm 22, which we studied 2 or 3 weeks ago when I was speaking here on that psalm. At the place called Calvary, the Lord Jesus paid the infinite price of your salvation and mine. He bought us by his precious blood. He chose us, and he bought us, and we're his. Now, there are different kinds of shepherds. Oh, dear, to read this book, he tells about shepherds that don't care. They don't mind. But a good shepherd, he giveth his life for his sheep. He loves them so much that he gives his life for them. And a good shepherd, he cares for his sheep. And here he says, the Lord is my shepherd, and the Lord himself says, I am the good shepherd. So this is the good shepherd. And the sheep is talking about his master. I understand that sheep, they get so fond of their own shepherds, their own masters, they know them. And the Lord says, he calleth his own sheep by name. And the sheep, they know his voice. Why, each sheep, I understand, in the far east, in the east, each sheep has a name, and just like a dog will come to his, when you call his name, so a sheep will. The master knows every one of them, knows their different ways and habits and idiosyncrasies and so on. He calls them by name, and he knows them each one. And this sheep is a contented sheep. He's a happy sheep. All down through the psalm you'll find he's perfectly satisfied. He's perfectly happy. He's perfectly contented. Why? Not with the circumstances of life so much. He's contented with his master. That's the secret. He's got a good shepherd. And he loves his shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. What a wonderful thing to say. The Lord is my shepherd. He chose me and he bought me. It says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. And at the place called Calvary, he bore the price and penalty of our sin in his own body upon the tree. And that's where we were purchased and brought into his fold. And he became our master and our shepherd. So as a sheep tonight, we can look up to the Lord and say, the Lord is my shepherd. One little girl, when she was quoting this, you know, she said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want any other. And that's true, I shall not want any other shepherd. Is a sheep that's satisfied with his master? Now let me ask you that question tonight. Are you satisfied with your master? We sing, I'm satisfied with Jesus. Are we? It's easy to say this. Are we contented? Are we happy to be just under his care and let him do what he likes with us? Or do we want to do things all on our own and plan our own way? The Lord is my shepherd. I'm perfectly satisfied with my master. He cares for me in every way. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. Now some of us are getting older. How wonderful to say this in me. I shall not want. We don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Illness or problems, we just don't know. But if we can just do like the sheep, trust to the shepherd's care, we haven't a care in the world. The sheep had nothing at all to worry about. He says, the Lord's my shepherd, that's enough for me. I shall not want. Oh, that we could learn this wonderful, simple lesson from the sheep language of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Perfect rest. I think one of the greatest joys of being saved is when you enter into rest, you know. All that long struggle, the years before you're saved, when you're struggling and you're asking, you're saying, Lord, tell me what to do. I was talking to someone last week up there at Jacksonville, and they were saying, for years I used to say to the Lord, what have I got to do? I'll gladly do it. What have I got to do to be saved? Tell me what I've got to do to be saved. And then one day she said she realized it was all done so long ago at Calvary's cross. And then you enter into rest. God is satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied as well. And I've got eternal life. I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. That's perfect rest. I don't think from the day I was saved I've ever had a shadow of a doubt about salvation. Because God said, and I was saved through John 3:16, and God said that he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's where we rest. Perfect rest, trusting in God, trusting in his word. Heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall never pass away. And we trust in the unalterable, unchangeable, all-sufficient word of God. Shall not perish. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall not perish. So he makes me to to lie down, to rest in quiet peace in himself. I once talked to Mr. W.E. Vine. In fact, the last time I ever talked to him, W.E. Vine, who used to be editor of Echoes of Service, a missionary book in England, and he's also the editor of that wonderful book we've got in there, Expository Dictionary of the New Testament Words, and he was a wonderful servant of God. And I said to him, Mr. Vine, I think the Lord is calling us. He's leading us to go to America. He said, let me tell you something. He was very quick. He spoke. He said, let me tell you three things about divine guidance. You think the Lord has called you? Let's see. Three things about divine guidance. He said, when you think God is calling you somewhere, look for three things. First of all, look for the witness of the Word of God. I said, then what do you mean? He said, I mean this, that God will never lead you or guide you to do something that's contrary to the Word of God. If he's leading you, it'll be in accordance with the Word of God. And then he gave me a couple of examples. He said, maybe you're going to go into business with some partner. Now he said, the Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He said, you mustn't go into business with an unsaved man. That would be contrary to the Word of God. If you're going to go into partnership, it must be a partnership with a Christian. And he said, a young man's going to get married. Now, he mustn't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. He cannot marry an unsaved woman. An unsaved woman cannot marry an unsaved man. Christian can't marry unsaved. At least, that's not God's plan. That's not the way of happiness. That's not the way of rest. God sometimes overrules. There's some here tonight, I have no doubt, that married unsaved partners, and God overruled and saved their partner. But that isn't what God said. He says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So he said, look for the witness of the Word of God, and don't do something contrary to the Word of God. And then he said, look for the witness of circumstances. He said, you'll find when God is leading you, he'll make the circumstances almost push you along that way. Things will happen, this will happen, that will happen. You say, oh, that's an indication, that's God's plan. And so, you find out God, by the circumstances around, will point you, that's the way to go. And then he said, when you're happy about that, then he said, look for the witness of conscience. And I said, what do you mean by that? He said, well, you may have struggled for a long time, and I know something about this. I know what it is sometimes to lay awake at night and when God is leading us to make some big change in life and move from this place to another and wait all night and asking the Lord and concerned whether this is God's plan or no. And when finally you know it is God's plan, and the Lord said, this is it. You say, right, I'll do that. He said, from that moment you have perfect peace. That's the witness of conscience. You'll have no worry, no trouble. Once you know that's God's will, you go that way. And he said, you have perfect peace. And so, God gives us peace when we're saved. And God gives us peace when we walk along the pathway that he planned for. Peace. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. This man who writes this book, he says, a sheep loves luscious grass. And he tells stories of when he had sheep ranches out there in East Africa, and he spent so much time preparing the ground and getting the beautiful green grass. And he said, a man had a sheep ranch next to him. He said, the poor sheep on his ranch used to look through the fence and poor, thin-looking things, and look in and see the grass that his own sheep were eating, and how fat and flourishing his own sheep were. Now that's how the Lord wants us. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. In green pastures. And we feed upon the good things that God gives us. In green pastures. Beside the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. This sheep thought a lot of his shepherd. He really thought there was nobody in the world like his shepherd. And that's how we should feel about our Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, nobody like him. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. This man tells about some shepherds, they let the sheep drink dirty, muddy, filthy water, but he said, that's not it. A good shepherd will take his sheep along by running clean, pure water. And that's what the Lord does with us. He leads us beside the still waters, and he feeds us day by day. He restores my soul, and he tells how much how sheep go astray. They say there's no animal in the world like a sheep for wandering astray. Getting through a hole in the fence, or somehow they'll get out, and then you gotta put them back. And it's an awful trouble, an awful burden. They will wander. But he restoreth my soul and brings him back. And this sheep says, all right, I wandered away, but he brought me back. What a wonderful shepherd I've got. He went after me, and he brought me right back home, back into the fold, back into the luscious green pastures that he had provided. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The sheep was doing wrong. If we can talk about righteousness with a sheep, I don't suppose you can, but he was going altogether wrong when he went through the fence and ran away, but he brings him back into the right path, and he leadeth me in the path of righteousness. Now, we're wanderers. We're like sheep. We can go astray. We run after this and run after that. The sheep gets attracted, and off he goes, but so do we. So do we. Things attract us from the Lord, the things of this world, if we don't mind. But thank God. He restores our souls. He brings us back. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Now, I don't think that really in sheep language he's talking about dying. It seems to me, if I understand things from what I've learned from this book, a good shepherd out there in those lands, when it gets very hot in the summer, he moves from the home ranch to the summer ranch. And the summer ranch is up on some high land. And to get there, he's got to go up the valley. And here's the water rushing down the valley and there's great rocks on every side. And they call it the Valley of the Shadow of Death. And we walk through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The sheep would be awfully frightened, except for one thing. If the shepherd's there, he's all right. If the shepherd's by his side, then what a bit. He's absolutely confided and confident in the shepherd's care of him. He doesn't worry one bit. Now you and I have to pass through valleys. There's some in this room tonight, today, tonight, passing through the valley. And as we look back over life, and most of us here are old enough to look back and see many of the circumstances of life, the way has led us sometimes through dark waters, sometimes through the valley. But how wonderful it's been to know that he's been with us in the valley. He didn't leave us alone. That's when we need him most, and that's when he stands close to us. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. David writing this about the Messiah, 1,000 years before he came here, he's saying, thou art with me. And here we, 2,000 years after the Messiah, we can take up the same wonderful language from this beautiful psalm and say, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I understand the shepherd had two kind of pieces of equipment. In those days, he didn't carry a gun. He had two things. He had a rod. That's a short, stumpy, heavy clump of a thing. That's the thing he could drive away the animals with. The animals that would come in and scatter the sheep. And it's also the thing he can use to punish the sheep when the sheep doesn't do what he told, because some of these sheep were very stubborn and he had to use the rod on them. And then it's the thing that with which he counted the sheep, they passed under the rod, the scripture says, and every night as they came back into the fold, he counted them with his rod, one by one as they came in, and found they were all, the fold was complete. And so the Lord keeps his eye on us day by day and counts us in every night. It must be a great grieving thing to the Lord, I think, when some of us are missing some nights, you know. There's some Christians, and which of us has never had these experiences, when we've been in some places some nights where we shouldn't have been. And when the Lord counts them in that night, we're not there, we may get in a little later, but he counts us in, you know. And that's what the rod was for, to count the sheep in. And the Lord, day by day, in his wonderful shepherdly care, he looks after us. And he uses that rod sometimes for punishment, sometimes to bring us back into the right road, sometimes to count us in. Each night we pass under the rod. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort. What a comfort to know that we're under the shepherd's care. And every day he knows all about every one of us. And when the day comes to an end, he counts us in once more, brought us safely through another day. What a wonderful shepherd we have. Then he says he has a staff. You know, that crook that the shepherd uses. And that's used for all sorts of purposes, you know. They can get that around a sheep's neck and pull him right back into the path where he's got to go. He can use that for many, many, many ways. He can use it many, many ways as he deals with the sheep, the shepherd's crook. And thank God we have the shepherd's crook to guide us. The Lord Jesus Christ has got his eye upon us, his hand upon us, and he guides us day by day. Thy rod and thy staff, thy comfort, they comfort me. And thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Now, let's get this clear. We're talking in sheep language. And by the way, this is where he changes. He's talked about the shepherd. He's talked about the Lord, but in this verse he talks to the Lord. Here's the sheep talking to the shepherd now. He says, thou preparest a table before me. Oh, he did it before. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. He changed over there and spoke to the shepherd, thou art with me. And that's what you and I can do day by day. Come so close to the Lord that we can say, thou art with me, day by day and night by night. And he says, thou preparest a table before me. Now, as I said, let's get this clear. I can't imagine a sheep sitting up to a table with a knife and fork, can you? That's what you think of when you think of a table. You think of a table with the plates all set and the dinner services and the knives and forks and all that. But that's not the kind of table a sheep ate at. You couldn't use a knife and fork. So let's get it in the sheep language now. Thou preparest a table before me. And I understand from this man that in the summer, when the weather became hot, the shepherd went on before and he prepared the summer pasture, the summer fold. And he always took the sheep up onto a highland. Now, out in the west, those of us, for some of you, many of you, I expect, have driven across. I've driven across right from here, from Florida to California. And as you go along, you come across what they call a mesa, M-E-S-A, a mesa. It's like a table mountain, you know, high up with a flat top. He said, that's what he's got in mind here. And the same word, mesa, that we use in this country is the word they use in East Africa, for these high plateaus, Table Mountain, at Cape Town is a very fitting example. A flat top, Table Mountain, a table on the top of a mountain. Up there it's cool, up there it's beautiful. Down in the valley it's hot and humid, but up there the breezes blow and the shepherd goes on before. In the summertime, and he goes up, he's got his possessions up there, his land, and he clears out all the weeds, the poisonous weeds, and he rids the place as much as he can of animals and puts up the fences and prepares this tableland, this table before him. And he gets the grass all coming up so beautiful, and then when the time comes, he brings the shepherd up through the valley, up through those gorges and past those rushing torrents, and gets him right up onto the tableland to spend the summer months in the cool, fresh air up in that high altitude. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. All the vicious animals were around, the wolves and the various ones that would damage the flock and kill the flock, but the shepherd there, he put the fences up, and in the presence of the enemies, prepared the table where the sheep can feast and feed all the summer long. He says also, this writer here, that where it says about the still waters, he said the sheep can go a long time without actual water if he's got grass which in the morning is wet with dew. And he says all sheep get up early in the morning before the daybreak, and they eat that grass that's all stuck into that wet and soaked with the dew. That's what they live on, that beautiful damp ground. He said it's lovely to see the sheep early in the morning out there feeding on that beautiful grass, and then they find a shady spot and they sit down and chew the cud and rummage all day long. What a picture of a Christian that has got what it takes to get up early in the morning and feed on the dew from heaven, the Word of God, and then all through the day to rest in the joy of what he's been eating and enjoying that morning from the Word of God. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. And so the summer feeding ground was all prepared on this tableland. And thou anointest my head with oil. Now he says that in the summertime the sheep have all sorts of diseases. There's some things that annoy them. He says there's nothing worse than a restless flock of sheep. They get nervous. They get excited. And when they're like that, anything will frighten them. They all scamper all off together. But he said one of the things that upset them is the insects that get in and bite. They see bite little animals, little insects get into their nostrils and get into their hair, get into their head and into their eyes. And they use a special oil. He tells you the right kind of oil to use and everything. And they rub the oil into the sheep's head and all around his face, and that keeps the insects away. Thou anointest my head with oil. Leaves the sheep in peace, so the insects won't annoy him. And the worms and the things that would drive him crazy, he puts it all right. He anoints his head with oil. And as we go along life's pathway, there's so many things can get us nervous and upset. We can make one another nervous, you know. He says in this book that fidgety sheep, anxious sheep, they upset one another. And he says some of the stronger ones are always butting and pushing, driving at the others, and they make the others nervous. What a wonderful picture. We're like that, aren't we? There's certain characters among us, you know. You've always got something to push and drive and struggle and fight about. Can't help it. Whenever you meet them, they got something, some new thing come up to, I want it this way, you know. Push and drive and butt and this is my way. He says how often he's watched them. Some old ewe that's strong. She'll find a nice piece of, she'll see some sheep feeding on some good grass, and she'll get in and push them all out, and that's her. She's going to have it and make all the rest nervous. And that's what can happen. Things can make us nervous. Things can upset our Christian life. But he says, thou anointest my head with oil. He can pour in the oil, and the oil of the Word of God and the Spirit of God can put these things right. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. What a happy sheep. My cup runneth over. Let me ask you again. Do you feel like that sometimes? This is how we should be. We have the most wonderful shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He bought us with his precious blood. And we should be rejoicing in him And we should be perfectly content. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I don't want to be going here, going there, going somewhere else. I want to be where He's put me. If He's put me on the Table Mountain, that's where I want to be. And then later when the summer's over, He brings them back home again. But He guides, He goes with them. Oh, that we could just day by day live just like this. Trusting in our shepherd to lead us and guide us. So that we can say, my cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. As long as He had that good shepherd, He's not going to worry. He knows as long as it is, all is well. Goodness and mercy can follow me all the days of my life. Do you believe it, beloved? I think we've got to ask ourselves tonight, do I believe it? Why are we always grumbling? Why are we discontented? Why are we dissatisfied? Why are we wanting what we haven't got? Why can't we sit down and say, I shall not want. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All the days of my life. How many of us can look back over many years and see that goodness and mercy followed us? We've had to go through the valley of the shadow sometimes. We've had to go through difficulties and problems, but the Lord has never deserted us. The shepherd has been with us, and we've learned more about the Lord Jesus in the dark days than we learned in the bright days. We learn more in the valley than we learned on the mountain. I remember years ago, I went home from Greece to England, and I bought a little car, and I took my mother. We went, Bill and I, and we took my mother and father, and my mother talked, and she talked quite a lot. And she'd been to America. My brother had invited her out here, and she talked. And she talked, and she talked. And I let her talk. I thought, that's my mother, let her talk. And she talked, and I just enjoyed it. And when I left her that time, I said goodbye to her, and something said to me, you'll never see her again. And I knew I'd be going home again in 3 years' time. That was the plan. And the 3 years nearly came. It was March 1935. We were going home in July 35. But March the 5th, 35, I got the telegram to say, Mother's gone. And just then I went and tore the text off the calendar. We used to have a calendar called Hearing Words. And somehow it fitted every circumstance of my life. Always, always. The day when I was told by my company that I was going to be made redundant with 60 other engineers. That's the day when I tore the text off the diligence and read it. And it said, I may leave the work which the Master gave, the work I have loved to do, the better service His children have in the land that He calls them to. From that little cheering words text calendar, the Lord said to me, the land. I'm going to send you to another land, another land. And day by day we asked, which land, Lord? And after 2 weeks, the Lord told me the land He was going to take us to was Greece. I had no idea, but out of the blue He said, Greece. But I was sure that was His will for me. And as I tore the calendar off the day, Vera was in bed at that time with scarlet fever, and I was unable to, we were going through the valley that time, and I was unable to even to go into her bedroom. She had scarlet fever. And the telegram came to say my mother had died, and I thought, let's see what the text says. And this is what it said. I walked a mile with pleasure. She chatted all the way and left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow and ne'er a word said she. But all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. When sorrow walked. And sometimes we have to go through the valley of the shadow of death and walk with sorrow. We can go through all the pleasure and chat all the way and learn nothing. But when you go through the valley, that's when you begin to learn something. I walked a mile with sorrow, and ne'er a word said she. But all the things I learned from her when sorrow walked with me. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Now, the sheep's not going, he's not going into a house and sit on the couch and cuddle up on the carpet or anything like that. What does the house mean for the sheep? It means he's come back from the mountaintop, he's gone back to the home fold, and that's his house, it's his home. And we are the house of God. He's back with his own friends, with his own flock, and here are we, in the flock of God, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to live with the Lord's people forever. I should dwell in the house of the Lord. Oh, I know there's a sense in which we're going to be. The Lord said, in my house are many mansions and so on. But we're going to share eternity with the shepherd with us, man. It'd be no good without the shepherd. We're going to share eternity with the shepherd and in the house of God. We'll have this wonderful fellowship we've enjoyed, multiplied 10,000 times when we meet the Lord's people from every land and clime. And we'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I would say we have a wonderful shepherd. And we ought, like David, to realize more and more what a wonderful shepherd he is. So we take the place of a sheep tonight. And we say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. May God help us to say that every day for his name's sake. Shall we pray? Blessed God, our Father, we thank you for this lovely little sound. As we hear the sheep talking about his shepherd. And Lord, it's our language about thee. We can say tonight, the Lord is my shepherd. And Lord, we're in love with thee like the sheep was in love with his master. And thou hast been so great to us, so merciful. We can say tonight, Lord, I shall not want. Whatever the circumstances are, we shall not want for thou art with us. We thank thee thou art leading us. And help us, Lord, we pray that we may never take a step of thy leading. If we're changing homes, or changing jobs, or whatever we're changing houses, or whatever we're doing, may it not be taken without thy guidance. He leadeth me. Help us, Lord, to wait for the shepherd's voice, to wait for the shepherd's crook and the shepherd's rod, to lead us in the paths of righteousness for thy name's sake. We thank thee for the wonderful future we have ahead, when we should dwell in the house of the Lord with all thy dear people, and best of all be near thyself, our great shepherd. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, thou art the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. We thank thee, thou art the shepherd who cares for the sheep. We thank thee that thou art the shepherd that's coming back one day to reward the sheep, the chief shepherd, and thou art the great shepherd. So we bow at thy feet and give thee our thanks. And ask thee, Lord, that we might be contented with thyself and not be grumbling, but we may be happy with the pathway thou hast planned and the food that thou art providing, and the place where thou hast put us, and the plan that thou hast for our lives. We ask it in the precious name of our Lord Jesus.